Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the 14th Sunday of the year.
Come to me, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Let's talk about humility. An academic friend of mine recently was asked to write a chapter in a book on humility. And when he'd finished, I asked him, "You must be proud of it." This made him feel awkward. That's very typical of English people. We think of humility so often in the wrong way. We believe that it means denying achievement. We've all seen it. When someone is praised, they say, "Oh, really, it wasn't anything." Or, "It's just average." Or, "I got lucky." Or, we equivocate or quickly change the subject. Most people today also associate humility with being low, obsequious, deferential, grovelling. Humility conveys the idea of being nothing or next to nothing. Such an understanding of humility may explain why it's a neglected virtue these days, given our present rather self-exaltatory age. A myriad of advertising slogans tell us you can be whatever you want to be. We're told to be in control of our destinies, to make ourselves great and to win a name for ourselves. What place does humility have in such a world? Indeed, what can humility do for us except inhibit our efforts to excel? We think of humility after the fashion of a Dickens character like Uriah Heep. "Oh, I'm very humble," he would have been known to say. And yet, inside, he remained seething with inner pride. Humility for him was a technique for getting what he wanted from those above. Many of us treat God in the same way. Uriah Heep's humbleness is the reverse of Christian humility, which acknowledges that we are made for greatness, and yet we know the source of that greatness is found in God alone. In the Bible, we're taught that Moses, for instance, was the most humble man upon the earth, and yet Moses confronted evil Pharaoh and led a whole nation out of slavery. The leadership qualities required for these tasks are not what we would normally associate with being grovelling, submissive, deferential. And yet Moses is called the most humble of all people. So how do we define humility? Well, it's not easy to do it. It's sometimes easier for us to look at pride, the big P word, and the opposite of humility. Sometimes better to analyse the vice, and by a kind of via negativa, a negative way, to understand the virtue in contrast. Pride is a denial of the superiority of the Creator and an inflation of our own ego, a sort of self-obsession. It leads to excessive ambition, an overestimation of our own strengths, and the desire to be idolized by others. Let's look at these various manifestations of pride. There is the pride of vanity, the sort of person who is so concerned always about what others think about them, what others say about them. Notice the inflated self, the ego here. We can be obsessed with honour and recognition. We try to feed our soul on honour, but it doesn't satisfy us. The ancient Romans, incidentally, were so concerned about their dignity that immortality for them was found in being remembered by their ancestors as someone great. But this is shadows and dust, a human folly. There is pride of overestimation of talent. Here we just think we can do better than anyone else, and we can do everything that comes our way. The sort of person here is the one who says, "Give it to me, let me do it." The person who ends up making a mess because he won't ask someone for help. Or this kind of person will never ask advice or seek support. being so spellbound by an illusion of their self-sufficiency. Then there's the pride of ambition that consumes the person in a desire always to be the best, to achieve some honour, glory, or skill for themselves. These people forget everything in the pursuit of this self-defined betterment, and they can often exclude their own real fulfillment, which is found in God. They become very difficult to live with, they become very lonely. When I'm preaching about these things, of course, I'm not referring to specific people, I'm preaching to myself, and I think we all see these traits to some extent or other in our own souls, and it's for that purpose that I preach. There is there also the pride of superiority, of snobbishness, where we glory in the fact that we are better than others. Our happiness here is dependent upon the fact that there are lesser mortals, that we belong to a better kind. This can be a pride for a whole family or group of people, shared together as a common myth of self-importance. It can be spiritual too, where we take pride in our own spiritual excellence and despise those outside. Then finally, there is the ultimate pride of self-determination, where we cannot accept that we are creatures, and that we must in the end bend the knee before God. This is the ultimate pride, the foundation of all the forms of pride. It's the kind of pride which prevents true faith, because faith is an act of humility, believing on trust. This pride says to God, to Christ, to the church, I will decide what is true in religion and morals. I am the arbiter of faith. This is the ultimate temptation, the one our first parents succumbed to, and the first fallen angels. They cried out, non serviam, I will not serve. And this sin has sown the seeds of doubtful pride in the minds of all subsequent generations. St. Michael, on the other hand, the angel who did not fall, cried out, who is like God? Acknowledging God's greatness. Incidentally, the name Michael means the one who is like God. Very fitting, for he now really is like God through grace. You see, this is the message of the gospel. He who humbles himself will be exalted. When we acknowledge our proper position before God and others, then we are capable of being raised to greatness. So let's return to humility and remind ourselves, in contrast to pride, that humility is about realizing who we are before God. It doesn't mean pretending that we do not have certain gifts. It doesn't mean intelligent people pretending to be stupid, talented people pretending to be incompetent, denying our achievements. It means desiring and enjoying one's own gifts and excellence in accordance with reason, with truth, with justice. A person who completes a great work of art by their own efforts, for example, may have a proper sense of satisfaction, which is not pride. Dante, who was a devout Christian, was happy to write that he was one of the greatest poets of all time. It sounds like pride, but it isn't really, because he knew all those gifts were from God and were for the service of others. Humility is truth. Saint Teresa of Avila tells us this. Humility acknowledges the source of all our gifts and achievements, God and his grace. Humility doesn't gloat over those achievements. It doesn't show off. It doesn't enjoy any superiority that is given by gifts from God. And it doesn't despise the weakness of others. Humility leads us to offer those gifts for the sake of the other. That's the kind of humility our Lord shows us. Though his state was divine, he humbled himself to assume even the condition of a slave. And this is true humility, not the English way of social discretion. So humility is the foundation of the whole spiritual life, as all the writers of our tradition tell us. If we don't have this foundation, then everything else is unstable. It's humility that opens the way to real greatness, because it is only by the truthful recognition of what we are that we can aspire to what is greater than ourselves. The proud person is preoccupied with the contemplation of a very small object, namely himself. But the humble person can look up to the stars. Maybe that's why God has given us the stars, so we always have something that we can't fully grasp, that we can't fully understand or encompass. G.K. Chesterton expresses this very well in his famous work, Orthodoxy. He says, "If a man would make his world large, he must always be making himself small. Even the haughty visions, the tall cities, and the toppling pinnacles are the creations of humility. For towers are not towers unless we look up at them, and giants are not giants unless they are larger than we are. It is impossible without humility to enjoy anything." So given that humility is so great, how do we achieve it? I want to suggest to you two ways. The first is to gain a sense of wonder before the things outside of us, not within us. Those beauties of the created order, or the beauties of art, or the creations of man, to wonder at them and realize the genius behind them that is outside of ourselves. And secondly, the discipline of praying prayers of adoration, not simply prayers of petition, things for ourselves, but rather to stand in awe before God. I'll leave you with Our Lady as our model. She is the example of humility, especially in her words from the Magnificat at the Visitation. Notice in these words how Our Lady can be great but acknowledge her need and make her elevation the foundation of service. She does not deny her greatness, the blessedness that she has received, but her rejoicing is in God who has worked these marvels for her. "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed. The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name." Amen.
Strength from the glorious cross of Christ.